Continuing with Prudhoe. What is the right of occupancy? It is a natural method of dividing the earth. By reducing each laborer's share as fast as new laborers present themselves. This right disappears if the public interest requires it, which, being the social interest, is also that of the occupant. What's the right of labor? It's the right to obtain one's share of wealth by fulfilling the required conditions. And I ask, breathing? It is the right of society, and I say here, the right of society, I would argue, is also the right of happiness. Most of. He says the right of equality is the right of labor. Justice, and I concur. Justice, says he, which is the product of the combination of an idea and an instinct, manifests itself in man as soon as he is capable of feeling and of forming ideas. Consequently, it has been regarded as an innate and original sentiment. But this opinion is logically and chronologically false. But justice, by its composition, hybrid, if I may use that term, justice born of emotion and intellect combined, seems to me one of the strongest proofs of the unity and simplicity of the ego, the organism being no more capable of producing such a mixture by itself than are the combined senses of hearing and sight, of forming a binary sense, half auditory and half visual. This double nature of justice gives us the definitive basis of all the demonstrations in chapters 2, 3, and 4. On the one hand, the idea of justice being identical with that of society, and society necessarily implying equality. Equality must underlie all the sophisms invented in defense of property. For, since property can be defended only as a just and social institution, and property being inequality, in order to prove that property is in harmony with society, it must be shown that injustice is justice, and that inequality is equality. A contradiction in terms. My comment is that Bentham schooled power to do exactly that. Make injustice justice. Make inequality equality. Own the lexicon. You define the terms. Having the benefit we have, benefit in quotes, of witnessing and experiencing the horrors inflicted on us by these power guys. Plato's tribe, in the years subsequent to Proudhon's writing, and the essential benefit, most importantly, of the historical and psychological analyses of Karl Popper, Martin Bernal, Emmanuel Wallerstein, John Boswell, Terence K. Hopkins in the first case, historical, and Jeremy Bentham, Karl Popper, and Alice Miller in the second, psychological analyses, we are now clear on how they justified this clear contradiction by utilizing the propagandistic writings of Plato and Hegel to invent a good, quote unquote, higher, quote unquote, than the realization of the social instinct in a just and joyous society based in the full and self-sufficient participation of each. They tell themselves, these power guys, that only the wise, quote unquote, can discern this greater good, so-called, and then ensure, by means of the absence of equality, by manufacturing scarcity, the absence of full access to our gifts, the absence of justice, that their reasoning will never be subjected to honest scrutiny or tested in the fire of controversy, as Proudhon says. Continuing, on the other hand, since the idea of equality, the second element of justice, has its source in the mathematical propositions, in the mathematical proportions of things, And I think a better way perhaps to say that is imbalance. And since property, he says, or the unequal distribution of wealth among laborers, destroys the necessary balance between labor, production, and consumption, property must be impossible. All men, then, says Proudhon, are associated. All are entitled to the same justice. All are equal. Does it follow that the preferences of love and friendship are unjust? This requires explanation. I've already supposed the case of a man in peril, I being in a position to help him. Now I suppose myself appealed to at the same time by two men exposed to danger. Am I not allowed? Am I not commanded even to rush first to the aid of him who is endeared to me by ties of blood, friendship, acquaintance, or esteem, at the risk of leaving the other to perish? Yes. And why? Because within universal society, there exist for each of us as many special societies as there are individuals. And we are bound by the principle of sociability itself. And my comment, this principle being the earth speaking in us. We are in sync with our bodies, our earth, by attending to it, to this principle. There's an argument to be made that not listening to our bodies, because forced to dissociate from them as infants, as subjects of rule, of class, of the global state, is the source of all our malaise. Proudhon, like Prince, is entirely fresh, exactly what was needed when they arrived. The line in 1999, I'm going to listen to my body tonight, and when did he not, expresses this, arguably his most brilliant gift to us, his model of doing that, certainly his most needed gift to us. And as I write this coda on May 29, today, over a month later, they still have not released, it seems, the results of the autopsy of Prince. We should ask ourselves, what level of control and repression is needed to keep reporters from reporting on this story? Truly. Serious biz. A lot. I answer. Anyway, we are now at 10, and always gotta apologize, always gotta say thank you so much for hanging in despite all the glitches. I love you. I love you very much. And until that day when we can, in reality, see that we are all together, all one, all meant to be in communion. I just gonna have to daydream about you. Thank you for listening. Until next week, peace.
Get away, let's go someplace, huh? Where I don't care.